I always love watching that. You see the little comedian up here? That was awesome, Shauna. I ask you to turn your Bibles, if you would, to Matthew 28. If I was to ask you to think back to a year ago, would it be hard to remember? No. A year ago, we all know the country shut down. This unseen virus was going around, and so many unknowns, we didn't know what was safe, what was right, so everything closed up until we got more information. And I was optimistic. Some of you will remember, I was very optimistic at the end of March there, telling people, well, we'll still have our Easter program. We'll still, you know, we'll be in church by Easter. And that didn't happen. I want to read to you an email I just got, and it was printed right before Easter of last year. And until Dr. Seuss is shut down completely, we're still okay reading stuff like this. So, 'twas late in 19 when the virus began, bringing chaos and fear to all people each land. People were sick, hospitals full. Doctors overwhelmed, no one in school. As winter gave way to the promise of spring, the virus raged on, touching peasant and king. People hid in their homes from the enemy unseen. They YouTubed and Zoomed, social distanced and cleaned. April approached and churches were closed. There won't be an Easter, the world supposed. There won't be church services and egg hunts are out. No reason for new dresses and we can't go about. Holy Week started as bleak as the rest. The world was focused on masks and tests. Easter can't happen this year, they proclaimed. Online and at home, it just won't be the same. Monday, Thursday, Good Friday, the days came and went. The virus pressed on. It just would not relent. The world woke Sunday and nothing had changed. The virus still menaced. The people estranged. Poo-poo to the saints, the world was grumbling. They're finding out now that no Easter is coming. They're just waking up. I know just what they'll do. Their mouths will hang open a minute or two. Then all the saints will all cry boo-hoo. That noise, said the world, would be something to hear. So it paused, and the world put a hand to its ear. And it did hear a sound coming through all the skies. It started down low and then started to rise. But the sound wasn't depressed. Why, this sound was triumphant. It couldn't be so, but it grew with abundance. The world stared around, popping its eyes. Then it shook. What it saw was a shocking surprise. Just a minute. He is going to kick the camera. He has sit on the seat. I'm going to lose our live stream here in a minute. The world stared around, popping its eyes. Then it shook. What it saw was a shocking surprise. Each saint in each nation, the tall and the small, was celebrating Jesus in spite of it all. It hadn't stopped Easter from coming. It came. Somehow or other, it came just the same. And the world, with its life quite stuck in quarantine, stood puzzling and puzzling. Just how can it be? It came without bonnets. It came without bunnies. It came without egg hunts, cantatas, or money. Then the world thought of something it hadn't before. Maybe Easter, it thought, didn't come from a store. Maybe Easter perhaps means a little bit more. And what happened then? Well, the story's not done. What will you do? Will you share with that one or two or more people needing hope in this night? Will you share of the source of your life in this fight? The churches are empty, but so is the tomb. And Jesus is victor over death, doom, and gloom. So this year at Easter, let this be our prayer. As the virus still rages all around everywhere, may the world see hope when it looks at God's people. May the world see the church is not a building or steeple. May the world find faith in Jesus' death and resurrection. May the world find joy in a time of dejection. May 2020 or 21 be known as the year of survival, but not only that, may it start a revival. I found that very powerful. Satan was obviously using this whole period to close our churches. But obviously, as you know, the church rose up and showed the world that we're not a building, we are a people. And it was so wonderful to see that happen. It just didn't feel right last year to not celebrate Easter in our own building. It didn't make the day any less special, though. And I honestly, last year's Easter was very special to me. Granted, it just didn't feel right not to celebrate and partake in communion with everyone present. We still had a form of it, and I am so grateful that God has given people the ability and wisdom to come up with the technology to make all that possible. But I look back on that time and I compare it to where we're at right now, and my heart is full because I took it so much for granted, some of these things. We're just going to have Easter every year in our churches. We're going to celebrate normally. And no, that wasn't the case. And I wonder if the Lord didn't allow us just to take a step back and realize, I've blessed you so much. And I want us to really focus on that blessing here this morning. So a year later, here we are. We're in church. We're celebrating this incredible holy day. And because of how things looked last year, I think this Easter means even more to me this year. It's a shame that it took something like a pandemic to make that happen. But I'm glad the Lord has made me realize afresh the celebrating of the Lord's Day, Easter Sunday, is just, oh, it's so incredible. I borrowed this sermon outline from my good friend Jimmy Keaton, who we just prayed for, I mentioned him there. And over the years, he's sent me some emails with sermon outlines in them, and sometimes I scroll through them and get a sermon idea, and I found this one, and it just fit for today. And the title was A New Beginning. Easter truly did bring a new beginning. You think about what people were going through at that time in history, you would realize they didn't have any hope. Jesus was dead. There's no hope for the future. But then Sunday came. Jesus rose from the dead. A new and fresh beginning was born. Many would say that a new beginning, that title, would be more fitting for New Year's. It's at the beginning of a new year. But for us as Christians, our beginning starts with Easter Sunday. So in Matthew 28 is a story of Jesus' resurrection. And while I'm not going to use the entire chapter for our sermon, I do want to read it. I don't typically do this, but I feel like this is Easter Sunday. We're in church. I'd like to read the Easter story. But there is a special aspect I want to bring out and focus on then after we're done reading the Easter story. So after we're done reading through this passage, if you just keep your Bibles open, we'll go through that then. Matthew 28, starting with verse 1. Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, his clothing white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come and see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And indeed, he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them saying, "Rejoice." So they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." Now while they were going, behold, some of the guards came into the city and reported to the chief priests all the things that had happened. When they assembled with the elders and consulted together, they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers, saying, "Tell them, his disciples came at night and stole him away while we slept. And if this comes to the governor's ears, we will appease him and make you secure." So they took the money and did as they were instructed, and this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." I'm only going to use several verses here in that passage to just keep your Bibles open, and I'll point you to those as we go along. But Easter is a time of new beginnings, and the first beginning that occurred this blessed day was the beginning of the end for death. Look with me at verse 2. It talks about an earthquake. The angel of the Lord descending came back and rolled the stone from the door, and he sat on it. Jesus was alive. At that moment, Jesus had rose from the dead. But before that, while he was physically in the tomb, he was spiritually taking the power of death from Satan. Ephesians 4:10 says, "He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things." And Revelation 1:18 says, "I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of hell and of death." Now, we won't be able to fully recognize and grasp the significance of this, but the eternal aspect on our destiny is incredible. While Jesus' body was in the grave, he descended to hell and took the power of death from Satan, eternal death. Satan had held this in his hands, and because of Jesus' just recently passing and then soon resurrection, he would provide eternal access to eternal life in heaven with him. It was at that moment that eternal death, the death of hell, which we talked about last week, no longer had to have power over us. I can't grasp the significance of that. We can just praise him for it. Recently, there seems to be a rash of very serious illnesses and even some death. And I think about the situation that happened in my own family. I'm reminded of some people in our church that are struggling with serious illnesses, and think of some others that are connected to our church that we prayed for this morning, facing life-altering challenges. And you know what? This week I was overwhelmed, very overwhelmed. And I think Satan was trying to get me to not focus on what this day is about. But I'm reminded that death doesn't have control over us. Jesus fixed that. So today, even though it's maybe not something we want to think about or talk about, the reality is that dying is only the beginning of an incredible life because of what Jesus did. Then, another new beginning that occurred on Easter was the beginning of the end of dread. Look with me at verses 5 and 6 again. The angel talking to the women said, "Don't be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen, as he said he would. Come and see the place where the Lord lay." Fear is rampant right now, more than ever. I don't need to tell you what to be afraid about, because the news media does a plenty good job of explaining every little thing that you need to be afraid about and detailing that for you, so you have a clear picture of all the fears that are out there. Because there's a lot to choose from. So it's kind of like a smorgasbord. We're going to lay it all out there for you and let you pick and choose which, or you can pick them all. I mean, that's totally up to you. But think about Jesus' followers for a minute. Their Messiah was dead. They're freaked out. The Romans were going to wipe them out. They were finished. They didn't have any hope. Then when they went to see Jesus' body and it was gone, what's the point in trying now? Jesus knew all that. And that's why he sent the angel to give them that message. Don't be afraid. Don't live in dread. I don't think I need to ask you this morning, because I'm pretty sure I know the answer. Granted, different personalities will give a different answer. But are you afraid of anything this morning? Is there any fears bothering you? I can put both of my hands up. I can attest, like I said earlier, that Satan was working on me overtime this past week. And as I said, I truly believe it was distract from the awesomeness of this day. And I realize that personality has a lot to do with this, and Jeff and I were talking about this the other evening. If you're a more optimistic person, you might not react the same way. But all of us, I think, if we were to be honest, we would say we have felt or do feel a twinge of fear from time to time over various things. And for some of us, those twinges become spasms that affect our whole body. But we're told that Jesus rose and conquered fear. Remember, fear, he is a liar. I preached that right before the pandemic shut us down last year. Satan is the author of fear. Jesus defeated him. The battle is won. John 16:33 says, "These things have I spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulations, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." When we use the word dread, we use it as an extreme form of fear. You dread getting a test taken. You dread going in for surgery, those kind of things. It's in the pit of your stomach. It's just this gnawing fear. But that level of fear with Christ isn't necessary. Remember that Easter Sunday came and the end of fear and dread started. Then Jesus rose to bring the beginning for the end of doubt. Use your imaginations for a minute. Do you think there was any doubt going on during this period of history? I mean, we don't really have to use our imaginations because it's listed here in Scripture, but I don't think it goes into the depth of the doubt that people were feeling. Jesus' followers have been told, you know, this is going to happen, this is going to be accomplished, and he's dead now. How is any of that going to work? So look with me at verse 7. The angel said, "And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and indeed he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." This is the angel stating emphatically, here's the facts. This is what happened. You don't need to doubt it anymore. Go see it for yourselves. Get going. Tell the others about it. It's real. It happened. And Satan has been working overtime all through the course of history to sow doubt in the heart of all believers. And James tells us we need to have faith in the Lord, because if we don't have faith, we're like this boat that's just drifting on the high seas with no end in sight. We're aimless. And that's not a pleasant analogy. There's a lot of what-ifs right now. A lot of doubts floating around. We have doubts about our world leaders, doubts about our economy, doubts about our jobs, doubts about our physical health and our personal safety. But one thing I can tell you without any reservation, we don't need to doubt Jesus. What he says he will do, he has overcome the world. Jesus rose to bring us confidence in him. And if you haven't experienced that, trust in him. Start this new beginning for the end of all doubt. But then Jesus rising brought the beginning of a new delight. Up until that point, they were long faces. There was much mourning. There was much sorrow. But if you can catch the play on words, their mourning, M-O-U-R-N, turned into a fresh new morning, M-O-R-N. And I thought of the words of this song that I haven't heard for quite a while. They all walked away, nothing to say. They'd just lost their dearest friend. And all that he said, now he was dead. So this is the way it would end. The dreams they had dreamed were not what they'd seemed, now that he was dead and gone. The garden, the jail, the hammer, the nail. How could a night be so long? Then came the morning. Night turned into day. The stone was rolled away. Hope rose with the dawn. Then came the morning. Shadows vanished before the sun. Death had lost and life had won, for morning had come. I remember as a kid hearing that song on some of my dad's old tapes. That was probably one of my favorite songs. That was awesome. Look with me at verse 9. "And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, 'Rejoice.' So they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him." Jesus appeared to them in person and told them, it's not time for mourning, it's time for rejoicing. And I just want to remind you this morning, Jesus is alive. And if you haven't picked up on it by now, then you probably won't. But I haven't changed the bottom portion of the church sign for over a year now. I changed the top and put something different. But I honestly don't think I'm going to take that statement down for a while because it just resonates with what I feel we should practice. Because He lives, we can face tomorrow. Jesus is alive. And because of His resurrection, it's a time for new delight. And then to wrap things up, the last thing I want to point out is that Jesus' resurrection brought about the beginning of a new direction. So look with me at the very end of the chapter, verses 19 and 20. Jesus gave His followers a new direction to go. It says, go therefore, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Jesus is saying, look, I know you've been through a lot, but now it's time to learn, time to use what you've learned and tell others about me. There's something that we all need to follow. This is a practice we need to put into our lives. In the midst of the death and the dread and the doubt that is going on all around us, Jesus wants us to tell the world of a better way. We can show them that we can be filled with delight because we know Him, and then they can walk in a new direction and meet Him someday. See, that sounds a whole lot better, a whole lot better of a mission than focusing on all the negative stuff, listening to the news and scaring ourselves half to death because of the next crisis that's occurring. I wonder what would happen if one of the news reporters would get up and just read the resurrection story sometime. Man, that would be incredible. Probably get fired on the spot, but that would be incredible. We can be a positive voice in the midst of the chaos, in the midst of the struggle, this Easter. So this Easter Sunday, I want you to remember, Jesus rose to make new beginnings. I want to enter into our communion portion this morning. In a few minutes,